Hello, Internet.
And for those of you listening, yes, the chat is still limited to 10 people because I haven't had zero time to look for.
You know why? Because it's an exclusive club. You have to get in early, and you have to log in early, and then you can join us
in
the chat.
If you don't call in, we will boot you out of chat.
Ooh.
Ooh, Jay, you're harsh.
Two chat enters, one chat leaves.
Ooh.
Who runs Chat Roll Town?
Yeah.
Well, the only problem is I don't think people are really – the people that aren't on are fighting to get in. It's not like it's salmon swimming upstream here.
They're F5 and living hell out of their computer. Please, dear God, let someone get out.
What is wrong with the Internet?
I don't know.
They don't want to chat with us?
I blame Al Gore.
Apparently not. We already have a caller, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's because we have an awesome call-in topic.
Caller before the music.
I haven't even, well, let's go ahead and get that over with because,
Yeah, do that.
It is Thursday, March 26, 2015. It's time for the Scroller Report, episode 143, I think it is. And a point of order, the first official episode of the Score Report was this week, 3 years ago.
Oh my God.
3 years ago.
March 23rd, 2012.
Wow. What? Really?
March 23rd, 2012, episode one.
Hmm.
Man, so long ago. I didn't have a baby and Brita still liked me.
I love you, Weird. You're actually secretly my favorite.
Wait. Somebody still, Jay, you stepped on Brita. I think she was saying something important.
I'm sorry, Brita.
I was just telling Weird that he's secretly my favorite.
And publicly.
And now publicly.
Well, let's see what this caller wants.
Okay.
Area code 508. Hello.
Hey, it's the Arctic Elf.
Hey, Arctic Elf.
So, do you know what our
topic is tonight, Arctic Elf?
What is your secret superpower?
Yes.
Whoop! Did he get cut off?
No, I'm still here. Yes.
Okay. So, what's your secret superpower?
Was that your timer?
Either bringing the rain or not smelling poop.
Ooh.
Or what? Bringing the rain or what?
Not smelling poop, not, he said.
Yeah. As in, does this baby need a diaper? I don't know.
Yeah, that's why you have to do a dipstick test.
That could be quite useful.
Yeah, it is. It's more useful than the other one, which mostly leads to ruined camping trips.
What? Okay, so you can't smell poop?
Not really.
Huh.
Yeah. I can smell dogs. I can smell fire. I can smell all sorts of things.
Do you, like, hold the baby up to your wife and say, is there poop?
Yeah. It goes the other way. Usually it's, why haven't you changed him? He stinks. Oh.
Oh my gosh.
There's flies buzzing around the baby again.
That's why you do a little plumber crack thing. You do a little tug the diaper, and that way you can see if there's a gooey residue.
Yeah, well, that's,
you wait,
that's
what try I... to stand up, and if they fall and land on their butt and it squirts out, that's when you know.
Maybe it's it just makes sense that it could be a man-woman thing, right? Because women being the baby caretakers for
so
millennia.
Says you. Don't be so goddamn heteronormative. Down with your rape culture.
Okay.
That was convincing, Weird.
You can't hear me clapping because I'm doing jazz hands.
You know, I think it is absolutely wonderful that a large percentage of our population is self-segregating to the kiddie table.
I agree.
It makes life for the rest of us so much easier. You know, we'll put out the crayons and we'll put out the Play-Doh, and then the rest of us can go get something done.
You know, that is a nice way to look at that.
Yes, it is a nice way to look at it. There are lots of not very nice ways to look at it.
Well, like, yeah, we haven't discussed what we're going to do yet.
Well, you know, Hillary Clinton was the one who had brought up camps.
Hmm. Who brought up what?
Camps. You know, that we all need to...
Re-education camps?
Yes.
Adult
fun camps. And the fun thing would be, well, first you need to take a shower because you smell.
Yeah.
And you're covered in baby poop.
And then what do we do? Inundate them with triggers until they're desensitized?
No. After the showers, you pull out their fillings and sell it.
Oh, weird! Terrible.
Oh man.
Besides, fillings aren't made of gold anymore. Fillings are not made of gold anymore. Weird.
What are they made of now?
Some sort of.
BPA and some kind of ceramic.
Yeah.
That's worth shit. I'll sell it. It's going to be way more valuable than the bottle caps in Half-Life or Fallout, excuse me.
What?
Yeah, I don't know either.
Fallout
was a series of post-apocalyptic role-playing games, and the monetary system in that was bottle caps.
Oh.
Okay.
It was very quaint.
I didn't know what a Fallout was.
I just often I think, how do these people go out? These are the trigger warning people. How do they go out of their house and say, like, go to the grocery store and navigate through the normal stuff that happens? You know.
Well, first, through a complete lack of situational awareness, and second, lots of bitching about all of the horrors they saw at Whole Foods in a upper middle class neighborhood when they get home.
They were out of kale.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The horror. Out of kale.
They only had non-organic arugula.
And non-free trade coffee. Damn the patriarchy.
On the plus side, they're going to make very tasty Soylent Green.
True.
One can only hope. So I had a related question that came up in the comments at, I think it was on Tam's Facebook this week, about the law in Indiana that just got signed. You can't win the culture wars through the courts. And the left has been trying that for a while, the whole suing bakers and florists, and now we have this backlash of passing really bad and stupid laws.
Right.
But, you know, we won Heller, we won McDonald's, we're going to win some more. But it occurs to me that that's not really what's driving the change in gun rights. And I don't even know, and this is what I wanted to ask, do you know of anyone who's been convinced to change their opinion on gun control based on those court cases?
No.
No, because the court cases involve facts, and all the gun control people have is feelings.
Well, but not on the hardcore gun banners, but the people who were, I don't like guns, they're icky. Yeah, why would you need a gun? The people who are in the middle, who could be converted, the people who, if you took them to the range, you took them to Women on Target, you know, you go out and bust some clay pigeons, you might go, yeah, that's kind of fun. Maybe that's not all evil and bad and everything I heard on CNN about guns is wrong.
Yeah, no, the court cases only wins in an argument where it is actually, you know, legal precedent versus legal precedent. This did a very, very good job with the people that are trying to say that, oh, no, the Constitution was only about flint, you know, flintlocks and muskets, or you have a right to hunt, or whatever crap they're talking about that's specifically only talking about legal precedents.
Yeah.
But when it actually comes to, like, I mean, the majority of people that are against gun control that aren't the, like, you know, the complete zealots, they're more just people. They're just concerned about safety. They hear in the news, you know, people getting shot, and there's these scary, dangerous guns out there. And, you know, there's, you know, these are exactly what military is using. And these, you know, crazed doomsday prepper type people are trying to get these, you know, belt fed machine guns, blah, 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 blah. And these people are just legitimately concerned about their safety and want things to, you know, things to be safer. And the best way you can do that, like, the most convincing thing for anybody is just simply pointing out our violent crime rate and the amount of NICS checks and carry permits that have been doled out in the last decade.
I've had good luck with that argument, and I've had better luck with how many guns do you think are in this room?
Well, you got to watch out the FBI statistics, because they were just found to have been cooking them.
Which one? The
mass crime? Shooting? The mass shooting statistics were, like, completely cooked.
Yeah, those ones that have been working really well too, is because a lot of people think that's the big myth, that, you know, even when you could say violent crime is down, well, yeah. They understand that violent crime is those other people. That's, you know, that's inner city type violence. And yet Sandy Hook was, you know, our kids, you know, and college students is our students, and mall shootings are us. This is, you know, this is going after, you know, middle America, you know, what the average American looks like, not the, you know, urban jungles of the inner cities.
But that the Tacoma Mall, what, 2 years ago, a year ago? 2 years ago.
Yep.
That was where the two shots were returned and the goblin ate his gun. And it didn't really make the news because it wasn't much of a mass shooting. I don't know that he hit. He might have hit somebody.
Yep, that's all. I mean, that's really the end. It's just, not so much of a gun-free zone now, is it?
Yeah, well, it wasn't even posted.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, he showed up with a backpack full of ammo and went to the upper story, and somebody returned some fire, and that was the end of it. So.
I had not heard of that FBI.
It was report
that they're tweaking their data. Did that come out just like yesterday or something? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Or somewhere around somebody, there.
Somebody put up a link to that somewhere where we can find it, because I hadn't heard of it either.
Jay just put it up in chat, which you're not in.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is room.
I'm saving that for someone else.
The report actually came out, here's a big shock, right before the November election.
So, which means that Obama's politicized Justice Department has finally made it into the FBI and statistics group.
And John Lott went through it and went, no. No.
Was that the report that had What's-His-Nuts from Boston listed as a mass shooting victim?
No, that was the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, where they listed Sarnev as he was a victim of gun violence.
He was a used victim of gun violence. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They where they listed them as a victim of gun violence. It was a violent criminal killed in a shootout with police. And the only reason that it got picked up was that it was Dos Badania Sarnev there.
Oh, I like, of the 160 cases it counted, 32 involved a gun being fired without anyone being killed. Another 35 involved a single murder. So now.
Yeah.
So 67 of those were not mass shootings at all by any definition.
Right.
Well, we'd have to actually you'd have to actually look at the case files, because shitty marksmanship doesn't make you not a mass shooter.
Yeah, it does.
If you go dump multiple magazines into a crowded mall and you don't manage to hit anyone, no, sorry, you are still a mass shooter. You just suck.
Well, no, because they define mass shootings by the people that are actually getting shot, not by the person shooting bullets.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be more than three victims, but if you want to use that metric, then there's...
Yes, I want to use that metric, because that's the metric that they use. That's the definition of mass shooting.
But then you have to include four gangbangers getting in a car that gets shot up as a mass shooting. We don't want to include them, because that is not a mass shooting in the same way that the Giffords attack or the Sandy Hook incident were mass shooting.
They've been counting them. Yeah. They have when they pull together their mass shooting data, they'll take one where, like, it's a domestic violence where guy shoots his wife and her parents and then kills himself. That's the magic four. That counts.
Yep.
It's along the lines of, if you look at the report on the, quote, school shooting since Newtown, when they threw out that completely made-up statistic, a huge number of the school shootings were actually robberies that took place near colleges.
There was also a bunch of suicides that were, you know, in parking lots, in dormitories, and things like that.
And a lot of drug and gang activity that happened actually on school grounds, just at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Or not even school grounds, but on apartments near schools that involved a college student.
Yeah, but if you're going to publish a list of mass shootings, by any metric, that list ought to be short enough that you can list the case file. You know, your report can include the case file for every one of them that you're citing.
Right.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. They're not interested in that.
Well,
yeah, they work on feelings, not facts.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, thanks for calling, Arctic Elf.
Certainly. Have a good evening.
All right. Bye. So anyway.
Who else has a superpower?
As we said, this is our call-in topic. That was a good call. Our call-in topic is because we discovered that I can smell ants, and a lot of people apparently can't.
What do ants smell like?
Formic acid. Ants.
Yeah,
okay.
But what does it smell like?
It smells like ants. It's not like a taste like chicken thing. It smells like
smell like flowers?
No.
Or?
It's kind of a, I don't know how to describe it. They smell like ants. It's a sharp, kind of pungent-y, acidic kind of smell.
Wait a minute. They're orthodox ants?
Yes.
Not acidic.
They've all got the earlocks.
And their antenna are curly.
They don't trim their mandibles.
So apparently people have superpowers. So that's what we came up with. Jay, we know Jay's superpower. He can't smell anything.
That's right. I can't smell anything.
And according to Weird, he passes for white sometimes.
I've actually met people who thought Jay's white.
I always assumed so. What do I know?
Yeah.
Sabrina, what's your superpower?
They don't list, you know, swarthy Italian as a separate racial type. I'm sorry.
There's so many of them.
Yeah. I'm a paisano American. That's
all I refer to myself. My superpower, like,
Dago-centric.
Dago-centric. Oh.
Okay. Anyway.
That's a spicy meatball.
It's a bippity boppity.
Oh, God.
I've been trying to figure out what my superpower is. And this evening, I said, well, okay, I've got that weird color thing. You know, I'm really good at color matching and seeing color and, like, being very specific about, like, I can't explain it. But you know, they have those color tests online where, like, oh, you know, arrange the colors in sequence, and I always get like 100%, 100% of the time on those tests. And so this evening I said to Mike, I said, this is our call-in topic. You know, what is your secret superpower? And he said, oh, I know what yours is. And I thought, oh, great. You know, because I thought the color thing was pretty stupid. But the color thing's cool because I didn't realize that not everybody could do that. But Mike's like, you have the power of intimidation.
Ooh.
I said, I do not.
Yeah, you do.
That stare.
And then he immediately went and hid under the bed.
Mike is whimpering in a corner somewhere.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
You're also the cat whisperer.
Well, I kind of am the cat. Well, you would know, Alan.
Yep.
You would know. But I guess, I don't know. I'm really pretty nice in person most of the time.
Yeah, that's the operative term.
I don't know. I do have power over cats.
Yep. You're nice until people are trying to ram their shopping cart into you.
Well, you know, I have a limited amount of patience.
What's weird? What's your superpower?
Well, thank you for asking. My my superpower
can
is...
Can you smell poop?
I sure can, and let me tell you, my daughter tested that out to the highest degree.
Oh, geez.
She came up and gave me a big hug, and I went, oh, we need to do something right now. But,
poopy butt.
Yeah. Yo, seriously, poopy butt. And it was an exceptional one, both, you know, in volume and texture and odor.
Wow. Yeah,
baby poop. It's impressive. But yeah, I can take garbage booze and make a nice drink out of it.
Nice.
My dad like gave me some like just some crap that he had in his liquor cabinet that had just been gathering dust. Like one of them is a bottle of Johnny Walker Red Label that's older than I am.
Mm.
And Johnny Walker Red's awful scotch. And but you mix that 2-to-1 with green chartreuse, and that is a goddamn good drink that I call the malt liqueur. And the other thing he gave me, which was a much bigger challenge, was he had a bottle of Southern Comfort.
Oh God!
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, Dad, don't you drink this stuff? He goes, I haven't for years. Just if you're gonna take it, get rid of it. And I'm like, okay, cool. And mixed him a drink, and you know, gave it to him. I said, what do you think? And he took a sip, and he says. I said, if you don't like it, I'll drink it and I'll make you something else. And he took a sip of it and he goes, I like it. And then I was, you know, putting the bottles away. He goes, okay, I stole a glass. I stole a glimpse. I saw that my Southern Comfort was in this. What else was in there? And I went, lime juice, Angostura bitters, and gin. And my dad goes, I don't like gin. And I go,
yeah, oh,
but you're enjoying this drink, aren't you?
I don't like gin either, except if it's in something.
The trick with if you don't like gin is to beat its – it's a very overpowering – there's a reason why you don't like gin is because it's a very unique flavor and it's a very overpowering flavor. So if you don't like the taste of pine trees, you're not going to like gin. But
right.
If you pick equally overpowering flavors and beat its brains out, it turns into something completely different.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I don't typically like pine trees. Not my thing.
I grew up with them, so. But at the same time, I also enjoy gin drinks that don't taste like gin.
Hmm.
So wait, I want to hear the story about how Brita, how you discovered that Alan has a superpower of smelling ants.
How did we find that out? It was on Facebook, and.
Careful, there are ants here.
No, it was something Amanda said.
My friend, my girlfriend Amanda, who also lives in Texas. I'm starting to think there's like an ant thing generally in Texas.
Well, yeah, because we have them.
Okay.
Fire ants. They have ants that can kill you.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're not imported from Australia.
Smelling ants came up. I'm not sure how that came up, but But both Amanda and Alan can smell ants. And I think, I don't know, it might be like a thing where you have experienced ants en masse. And so you can smell, you know, can smell them all together. I've never experienced like a huge mass of ants all at once.
Only weird can experience ants en masse.
No, you and you and Brita are the only Catholics.
Oh God.
We don't have giant anthills like, you know, above the Mason-Dixon line, I don't think.
Though I got to say we've got the sidewalk ants here and those suckers swarm like crazy, and
maybe you should get down on the ground and stick your little nose up against the ant hole.
Oh, and what then, I do is I get down on the ground and I hit them with a blowtorch.
Yeah,
And then I do, in fact, smell ants. In that case, they smell like burning hair.
Oh. Okay.
Or pour molten aluminum down the anthill.
Oh, I love that guy. Oh, have you guys seen this guy?
Yes.
Oh.
The guy that pours molten aluminum down anthills and then digs it out and it comes out.
Yes.
With it. Yeah.
Yes. I love that.
That's cool.
Where it's like this weird ant sculpture. Yep. I love that.
Here, I'm dropping it into chat.
And yes. I like to, and I love watching the last few minutes as the last few ants like come plunging out of the sand on fire.
they're like caught in the aluminum, like the last citizens of Pompeii.
No.
Shall we take another call?
Yes, please. Callers.
Hello, MDev. You're alive.
You guys got to give me a warning.
No, we don't.
My God.
This is your warning.
Your warning is you picked up the phone and dialed.
Wait a minute. Is MDev playing
a trick? I've been on hold for 26 minutes. So, that's that. Second of all, I'm really sad that somebody got my, somebody stole the easy punchline of the ants and math. I was going to say, ants and math. It's time to change churches, but somebody got there first. So, but I actually do have a superpower.
What is it?
And I have had this superpower since Cub Scouts. I have always had the ability to, like, anytime I'm in a group, whether it be at a job or when I was younger at Scouts or whatever, and somebody new joins that group, I can tell with, probably 95% accuracy whether they're going to last or whether they're going to be gone in like 6 months.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So, that's a good power to have.
And how long does it take you to come to this conclusion?
Generally the first one, sometimes two times I meet them.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I probably should, like, pursue a career in HR or something, but...
That would be good.
Yeah, it would.
You could be the next John Edwards, too. I don't mean the ambulance chase.
My wife's grandmother is going to John Edwards when he comes to Seattle this year.
Oh, no.
She's all about him.
John Edwards.
The fake psychic.
Yeah,
I'm thinking the vice presidential candidate.
No.
Yeah. No, we're talking about he's a cold reader is what he is.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's very good at it.
He's an extremely good cold reader.
Yeah.
The CIA should get him or something.
But
they probably did.
he's not nearly as fun to watch as the chick on TV, the Long Island Medium. That lady's hilarious.
And which one's she? That? I'm not familiar with her.
She's the crazy lady from New Jersey that talks to dead people and walks up to people in grocery stores, and she's like, "Your husband is with you," and then they cry, and you know.
That wouldn't work on me.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, because Mike would punch her in the face.
No, not that. No, I'm just saying, people approaching me in public, there's not a good track record for that. I guess it's part of the intimidating thing.
Yes.
I was going to say, Brita, this ties perfectly into your superpower.
Yeah.
I actually, man, I had something cool I was going to tell you guys. I don't remember what it was. You probably got there before I thought of it. I don't remember.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Oh, yeah, actually not anniversary.
Well,
but,
it's
well,
close
anniversary
enough.
Of
you know.
Being together, but yeah. But yes, yeah. 2,500 days.
That's amazing.
Filled
good
my
for you.
Car with Dixie Cups.
Also,
you know what the problem is, though? Here's really the problem. My wife doesn't get rid of any of the Dixie Cups.
What?
So it started with 100 days, then 500 days, then 1,000 days, then 2,000 days, now 2,500.
Do you have a closet full of Dixie Cups?
What?
Do you have a closet full of Dixie Cups at this point?
Oh, we have boxes full of Dixie Cups, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
What on earth moon language are you people speaking?
Oh, you have to explain now, MDev.
You have to be from
Facebook, the land
of Facebook.
Oh my God. You know, this scroll port would be half as long if we just had Facebook.
I know, right?
We're in the land of podcasts, and so therefore there's lots of people who download this who are not in the land of Facebook.
That is also true.
Okay. So I'll make this short and sweet because then I got to go do something productive. So when my wife and I were together, we did the classic, like, young couple thing where we celebrated every month of anniversary, you know, 1 month together, 2 months together, whatever. Just an excuse to go out to dinner, really. So when we got to our 3 month anniversary of just being together, of dating, I was flat broke. I was broke. So I let the 3 month anniversary go by and I instead celebrated 100 days of being together, you know, which is, 8 or 10 days later. So, because I had gotten paid by that point, and I put 100 cups in like a pathway in her apartment, right? And she got a kick out of it, and then at 500 days, I made a big pyramid of Dixie cups, which are, by the way, a pain in the ass to stack. They fall over in the slightest breeze or air conditioning vent or whatever. And then I did the same thing in 1,000 days, and this past week was 2,500 days. But my wife was at home all day, so I couldn't take all day to build a pyramid. So instead, I went to Costco, I got 2,500 Dixie cups, and I filled her car with them.
There are worse things you could have filled her car with.
Madness.
Well, yeah. But it's always been Dixie cups, so. And you know what? 2,500 Dixie cups only cost me like $35. So it's cheap romance.
And now you've got enough Dixie cups to last
you through
the apocalypse.
No romance is cheap.
But, you know, I mean, the problem is we're going to get to a point where, you know, when we get to 10,000 and 12,000 Dixie cups,
you're screwed.
We're gonna have a problem here.
Maybe you need to go to weeks instead of days.
I think at that point you should just buy her jewelry.
You know what? I'm done buying my wife jewelry.
Or
all the jewelry I buy her, she doesn't wear.
Or you can figure out how much that number of Dixie cups would have cost, and then buy her something with that much money.
Or just give her the cash.
Yeah.
Or what you could do. Is you could come up with a conversion factor and figure out whatever the conversion factor. How many Dixie cups equals one solo cup?
Ooh!
Oh my God!
There you go.
I'll just take the cash.
It's like
her a check. That's romantic.
I you know what? I think I'm going to buy her. I think I'm going to buy her rounds of 22 ammo.
There you go.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Don't get crazy.
Yeah, I'll go broke. I'll go broke, but I'll buy 10 bricks of 22 ammo, and I'll just be broke.
Yeah, don't go for the rare stuff. Go buy her rounds of 41 pinfire.
That's probably cheaper.
No, but she doesn't shoot 41 pinfire.
Millimeter LaBelle.
It sometimes I think 9mm is cheaper than 22.
She doesn't shoot 9mm. She shoots 380 and 22.
Oh well,
5110 government.
She needs a shark.
All right, weird. You chain yourself to the reloading press and crank me out the 5110 government.
You buy me the brass and I'll do it for you, baby.
sir. You know.
The brass is only, I think, about like $4 a round.
Oh, shit. I can buy 50 BMG for that.
You sure can, but it's not 5110. You can buy 50 BMG at Walmart. Fuck that noise.
50 BMG never killed no buffalo. Although that would be pretty damn cool.
I'm willing to bet somebody got drunk at some point.
Probably.
I'm betting sometime in the 1930s, a buffalo walked across a training range somewhere out in the Midwest, and someone with one of them newfangled M2s went, "Huh, I wonder."
So
it's so was born the buffalo burger.
Speaking of getting drunk, did you guys by any chance talk about? I think it was probably a week or two ago about the Secret Service agents that got drunk and drove onto the White House lawn in the middle of a bomb investigation.
No.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it, but I heard about it. Top men.
Yep.
I didn't even hear about it.
I guess the Obama media did their job then, Rita.
I guess so, because, you know, I read the news.
Media. No, I'm just... But yeah,
news.
Apparently, a couple of pretty high ranking Secret Service agents.
Here, I just dropped it in chat, Rita.
Thank you.
Apparently, tonight the role of reference librarian is being played by me.
I'm off the clock, Jay.
Ooh, extremely intoxicated and returning from a retirement party.
What?
So of course they were driving.
Hmm. Do they have hookers in the car? Because
the DEA had the
way to pick him up at the White House.
That was the DEA that had
the hookers. Oh, DEA. Sorry. Yeah.
Colombian hookers.
Right. God.
Are there non-Colombian hookers?
Talk about regulatory capture. Whoa.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Laws of forfeiture are getting really strict. Yeah.
Thanks for calling him, Deb.
All right. Talk to you folks later. Have a good
All right. We have more callers. That's why.
Oh, good.
No way.
Yeah. It's area code 610. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Greetings, caller.
Hi.
Hey, this is Andy from the chat.
Hey, Andy. Awesome.
And
Andrew. Okay, good.
So as far as my superpowers, first one I think you guys are already familiar with. I have this uncanny ability to turn into just a blithering, blathering, stuttering idiot whenever I'm on the phone, especially when I call on the podcast. So I apologize in advance for that.
Is it because you know you're being recorded?
I don't know. It's probably just stage fright.
Aw.
I know that sounds stupid, but...
You just have to do it more often.
You just have to picture me in my underwear.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. My eyes. my second superpower, I'm a writer, which I want to be, and I write fiction. I have this uncanny ability to go from nothing to a basic plot outline and, you know, basic character descriptions, you know, character maps, whatever, in the space of about 2 hours.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and unfortunately, those 2 hours are 1:30 to 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's not so good.
Oops.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome, but not so much when I have to go to work the next morning.
No.
That's why you need to get real good at that authorship, Sian. So that time, one to 3:30, yeah, you're at work, baby. You just punch the clock.
Yeah. So what do you do? Do you just, like, take notes real quick and try to get back to sleep, or?
Drink
a lot of coffee?
No. If I started drinking coffee at 1:30 in the morning, I'd be up all night. Usually what I just do is I get, like, just the barest scrap of an idea, and I'll think, ooh, that sounds pretty good, and I'll get out a notebook or more likely I'll fire up my laptop, call up a Word file, and just start banging away.
Hmm.
Now, if I could actually finish anything I started writing, that would be an improvement. I'm horrible at that kind of thing.
So you have lots of bits and pieces of
I have a hard drive full of partially completed novel attempts.
Nice.
Sounds like you need to partner up with someone. You know, that's what I was listening to Jerry Pournelle talk a while back, and he said at his age, that's what he does. He, of course, he's Jerry Pournelle, so he does the plots and the world building and all that kind of stuff, and then farms it out for somebody else to write the actual, you know, words.
There's a ton of the big serial bestseller guys.
Oh
my gosh, James
Patterson. James Patterson does not write his own books anymore.
Nope. I stopped reading Clive Cussler when it was very obvious that he wasn't writing his stuff anymore.
Clive Cussler stuff wasn't even very good when he was writing his own stuff, if you ask me.
Them are fighting words.
Actually, his first 10 or so books were actually pretty good.
I tried reading Sahara.
No.
Yeah, after I saw the movie with what's his face?
McConaughey.
Not Bradley Cooper.
And Steve Zahn.
McConaughey, yeah. The movie was better than the book, and that's saying something. Yeah, I got about 8 chapters in, and there was this there's this paragraph that they keep repeating over and over again. We have to find the source of the red algae before it hits the Atlantic, because if it hits the Atlantic, then there will be a massive algae bloom, and it will consume all the oxygen in the world, and all life will die. Like, it doesn't matter what the situation is or what the character is. It's repeated verbatim over and over again. Like, I fed up and just threw the book across the room when they're on whatever river being chased by the gunboats, and like, we have to turn back. We're going to die. No, we can't turn back because we got to find the source of the red algae. And I just started screaming, I know, shut up already. And I just threw the book across the room, and that was the end of that.
No, you got to start with the stuff from back in the 70s. You got to read, like, and it's a little dated, but Raise the Titanic was really good. Vixen 03, Night Caper, or what was it? The Mediterranean Caper, Night Probe. The first ones.
From Russia with Love?
No.
You only live twice.
It's like, who's the other Clancy?
Oh, yeah, Clancy. I was a huge Clancy fan, especially back when I was in high school. But, I mean, after, The Sum of All Fears, that was pretty lousy. And I think after that, all of his stuff was ghostwritten.
Yeah, it was.
Red Rabbit, oh my gosh, I never thought I'd read a boring Tom Clancy book.
I didn't read that one at all.
You didn't miss anything. Yeah. I kept reading it thinking, because you know how Clancy is. It's like it's like slow build-up, slowly rising tension, and then the last 60 pages are just an explosion of action. I kept slugging away at it, like, okay, you know.
get better.
Good. And the next chapter, it's going to start. Like, I finished the book, and I thought, I just wasted 3 days of my life on this. This is the most boring thing I've ever read.
Yep.
I just hate it
when that happens.
Power read it, hoping it's going to get better. It didn't. Trust me. Red Rabbit is useful as kindling, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Now that the book club segment is...
This is the book club segment.
Yeah, I think we got a little sidetracked.
All right.
Sorry about that.
That's another superpower.
Yeah, it is. So what do you think now that since we've got a caller on the air? I put a link to a mind-bogglingly stupid New York Times article. The writer, it's actually been scrubbed from the article because apparently the New York Times editors were like, holy shit, we got to delete this crap. But the writers, is a pair of them, and it was an op-ed, but they were talking about Bergdahl. And they said,
oh boy.
Another question is whether the Army will give Sergeant Bergdahl an honorable discharge if he is found guilty of desertion. For members of the military, an honorable discharge is no small matter, and not getting one can hinder not only a veteran's job prospects, but the entirety of how a service member looks back on his or her career.
Well,
I have I have family members at home right now, so I'm going to refrain from saying what I actually think about the matter. Suffice to say, all I'm going to say is rope is cheap and reusable.
Well, but you've got...
I don't even think we should trade it for the guy. Now you're going to get... Now I'm going to start ranting and raving and foaming at the mouth and stammering and stuttering.
That brings up the other, you know, top men thing is we traded how many? 5 terrorists for a deserter?
We didn't trade. We gave them away.
Yeah.
We freaking gave...
Yeah, thanks for giving this away. Guy. Now, you had him in captivity. Now we're going to put him in captivity. But it's our cage.
And it's like, I had to circumvent Congress because he was deadly ill and he was going to die. Well, that's funny. He looks perfectly fine and healthy and well-fed to me. He's even getting on the helicopter nicely shaved. What the flying flapjack? Seriously.
And this is the Taliban, who haven't exactly been, you know, nice to American soldier prisoners of war.
Yeah, and he's been there for five years. But that guy is a deserter. Yeah. He is a traitor. I think we should give him an honorable discharge. I think we should strap him to a 155-millimeter mortar and honorably discharge him over whatever field happens to be downrange.
Nice. Well, I thought it was interesting that some writers from the New York Times were so clueless about about the crime of desertion. You know, during war is what it was, and. Worried about whether he'll get an honorable discharge or not, you know.
And his job prospects.
Yeah, and his job prospects. He's not going to have to worry about job prospects because if they don't send him to death, he'll spend life at Leavenworth at hard labor.
Good.
And
he'll probably get a book deal and go into politics.
No, they won't let him.
And that's where traitors go these days,
well,
right?
No. I mean, Andrew's got a point here. Come on. You don't think that he's going to get the old Patty Hearst treatment as Obama cleans up his shit out of the Oval Office?
No.
I think if he winds up in a prison, he's going to get Father Gagan'd. See if Weird picks this one up.
Oh, Weird picks it up loud and clear. Jeffrey Dahmer would be another appropriate noun as a verb. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, what was it? There was this news story I saw going around Facebook. Like this guy murdered his cellmate, and I don't know what state it was in. He butchered his. He didn't just murder the guy. He went full on Sweeney Todd on the dude, butchered him. And he was called before a judge, and he said, "Well, Your Honor, I had to kill him. See, he was a self-confessed child molester, and he said once he got out, he was going to do all these horrible things to little children. I couldn't let that happen. I had to kill him. I don't know what happened to him, but that was his defense." I mean, all I'm saying, if he gets thrown in a military prison, he is going to have a very brief and interesting sentence. Let me just leave it at that.
I think we should start a GoFundMe campaign to buy cartons of cigarettes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, military prisons don't work like that.
Oh, yeah, they do.
No, they don't. They really don't.
Yeah, I know.
It's completely different.
Alan, don't say that. You know that Jay's been on the inside.
Well, yeah. I hear it's common people of color. I tried to say it. I just couldn't.
Jay's got Born to Lose tattooed across his chest, and a tear for every year he's away.
It's the neck tattoo that does it, right?
Yep.
Yes. Prison neck.
Jay's better than that. He's not Massachusetts. You're in Virginia now, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're Virginia's version of Neil McCauley.
Who?
Ooh, very good.
Heat?
Yeah, please tell me you guys it's being Heat. Michael Mann, De Niro, Pacino, Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer before he became the size of the Chrysler Building.
Yep.
Skinny Val Kilmer.
No. Jay's definitely more of the Oh, shoot. That was his name. The Mexican actor.
He's more De Niro. He's De Niro.
Eli Wallach? What?
No! he was he was actually, he was playing himself in that one while, Machete. What's that guy's name again?
Danny Trejo.
Yeah, Danny Trejo. Yeah, he was his character name in Heat was Trejo. And he got into acting because he served with Eddie Bunker and John Voight was playing Eddie Bunker in Heat.
Well, all right then. So we've had book club, and now we're having movie reviews.
Don't be so uncouth, you savage. This is film.
Film? Oh, my God.
I think sufficiently derailed the podcast, not once, but twice. I think I will depart before I do it a third time. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks for calling, Andrew. Bye. Oh, man.
That's right. Jay shows everyone his neck tattoo. ASA, this was done with a ballpoint pen and a cassette motor.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Oh, goodness.
Man, how do they do jailhouse tattoos now? Because, I mean, does anybody have a cassette motor anymore?
What?
I don't know. Brita, how did you do yours?
Oh. You get a bottle of India ink. Like, you know, the regular drawing ink you can buy at a craft store.
Uh-huh.
And you use, like, a needle. And you just poke it in. I hope my mom's not listening.
I did not know you had ink, Brita.
I have lots of ink.
You've seen it.
Wait, have I seen it?
Yes, you have.
He has not.
At the swimming pool in...
Nope, he didn't see it.
Oh, okay. I thought.
I had a bikini covered it up.
Oh.
Wait.
I think you just broke weird.
Hold on.
Yes.
Brita?
Yes.
Where's your ink?
I'm not telling you. It was.
And Weird lurches forward 3 feet before he stalls.
Oh, shit. Well, if you were on Facebook, you'd probably seen it.
No.
I could have sworn there was a.
No.
I'm thinking if it's covered up by a bikini, she's probably not posting it on Facebook. Just a thought.
I have been. There's a picture of me in a bikini on Facebook.
Yes, there is.
However, the bikini, I was facing the wrong way to the camera.
Oh.
Sorry. So
do you have a shamrock on your butt?
I do not. Nope.
Is it a horny little devil?
It is not.
It's a leopard.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry. You'll never know.
Do you got a Trailer Park Rose on the Tata?
Nope. Oh, the mystery. It will just torment you for the rest of your life.
He may get a Facebook subscription now.
Wait. I know. It's a mud flap girl.
It is not. I do not have a tramp stamp. I want to say that right now. I do not have one of those.
No, there's no Malibu license plate in Brita's profile.
Nope. Sorry, Weird. You'll just have to use your imagination.
Or use my charm.
Or hang out in Brita's backyard again.
Well, as charm meaning my superpower, which means like the Brita, you won't believe I made this tasty cocktail entirely out of roofies.
That might work, actually.
I mean, I would also, you know, add some triple sec, some orange bitters, maybe some
Lily Blanc. You know, yeah, sweeten it up a little bit.
Yep, and then, you know, crush up some that. Maybe a little bit of aspirin so you won't have a headache the next day when you wake up. I'm considerate. I'm a charmer.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, you'll just have to wonder.
You'll just have to invest in a telephoto lens.
And that too. He's really thinking about it.
I really am. Hold on, let me squirt a little WD-40 on these gears.
Oh my God.
As long as that's all you're squirting.
Oops.
You guys are horrible.
Yes.
How about that plane in the Alps?
Oh, yeah.
The guy was depressed. He fucking, took everybody down with him.
If you want to achieve terminal velocity, find a fucking tall building.
Yes.
That's right.
It is not suicide if you take 100-plus people with you. It's not. It's mass murder. I don't care if you're depressed.
Weird. Is that going to make the gun death files?
I'm thinking about moving. I've got till the end of the month syndicated, but I'm thinking about bumping one of them for that one. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm pretty pissed off about it. So I think I need to bump that one to the head of the line. So says I, Jazz Hands.
Oh yeah. We didn't talk about Jazz Hands.
Save for next week. I think that'll be a good call-in for next week.
Yeah, we've got those two for next week.
Invent a nonverbal signal to replace applause.
I don't know how that'll work on a call-in.
What, you can describe it.
I use the American Sign Language symbol for your number one.
Weird.
Yes.
What is the signs with?
Oh, Dirty Signs with Kristen.
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know if she does it anymore, but yeah.
Dirty Signs with Kristen.
Or maybe she just does it on Facebook, and I don't have Facebook, which I don't see it on YouTube.
And along those lines, I want everybody to know that you can put tater tots in a waffle iron.
Yes, you can.
And you make the most delicious, like, hash brownie thing that you've ever had. But you must always call it a tot waffle. Because that's the name, a tot waffle.
Oh, man. Best show ever.
It's always the best show ever.
I know.
Yeah.
We're continually improving.
I know.
Oh, look, it's
always mo better.
It's 9 o'clock.
And just so you know, if you're one of the few people in chat, I just posted the Dirty Signs with Kristen, where she teaches you how to say, "I want to tongue punch your fart box."
Oh, that's my favorite.
In American Sign Language. That is my
always
favorite.
Always so. Important.
Yes.
Well, you need to let them know before you do it. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, it's like the standard translation thing. Where is the bathroom, you know, donde yep. es la biblioteca, and yep. I want to tongue punch your fart box.
How do you say that in Spanish?
I have no idea.
Como usted.
They're very, very useful things.
Oh, yeah.
Man. How to order a beer in a foreign thing. Of course, you're going to find the library.
Right, of course.
Actually, yeah. You know, Brita, I gotta say, my dad works for L.L. Bean, and he has a sickness of if he goes on vacation to a place that has an L.L. Bean, he will go to that L.L. Bean.
What?
Yeah.
Oh no! When I went to Texas a couple of weeks ago, I deliberately avoided the libraries. I saw signs for libraries. And I knew where the libraries were, but I deliberately avoided them.
Oh, Brita, you missed out. You see, in Texas, they actually print the words on cattle.
They brand them on the cattle.
That's right.
They carry the library in Texas.
Yeah, the card catalog is actually made out of dried and branded Meadow Muffins. It's very impressive.
You don't want that decimal system getting dewy.
That's right.
Oh, Jay.
That's right. And the water fountains pump barbecue sauce.
That may be. And they all serve brisket too.
That's right. And oddly enough, you will find no books about beans.
No beans.
That's right, not, damn it.
Beans aren't allowed in Texas.
Well, they are. We just keep them. We just keep them separated.
They have their own library.
The beans
They're
are segregated. Kept away from the children.
They have the separate bean library.
That's right, damn it.
But yeah, so Brita, do you go to other libraries when you're on vacation?
I do not.
So needless to say, if you were in a foreign land where they spoke a different language, you would not need to ask, where is the library?
Nope, not ever.
I don't think anybody needs to ask
that. I don't
care
where the library is. Nope.
People yeah, that's like that. That's like the standard like phrase.
Because you're learning it in school.
Well, I don't know. Libraries are like universally like public place kind of places, right? So if you need information,
you should be able to ask, is the water
safe
here to drink? Will I get the brain worms from drinking the water here?
I just assume that answer is yes, and don't drink it.
Don't drink the water.
How do you get tax forms, Brita?
I don't even drink the water in New York.
You're almost done with that.
Is it April yet?
Nope.
To be almost. Fair, I believe New York has the number one ranked domestic water supply in America. It's all piped in via aqueduct from the Adirondacks.
Really?
Yep. Yep. I believe. Actually, I'm not sure. Portland, Maine's right up there, but from Sebago Lake. But yeah, New York City actually has was ranked like the best domestic municipal water supply.
By who?
Oh, see, I actually learned this factoid before the internet, so.
Oh.
I don't.
Oh, so it could be wrong now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've heard it's really good shit.
Is that the same water they take out of the tap and put it in the water bottles for people to?
No, that it's the Portland Municipal Water Supply that was in Poland Spring Water for a long
time. Okay.
And actually, as a matter of fact, the Portland Municipal Water Supply is better than Poland Spring Water.
It probably is.
And but yeah, I remember the first time. I think it was when I was in like a Disney World at like age 7. I got up in the middle of the night and walked into the bathroom and poured a glass of water in Florida. I had no idea that you could get that the faucets could pump such horrible shit in a hotel room in Florida. It was gross. A lot of limestone.
Yeah. My water tastes like chlorine.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, well. Yeah, but I can smell ants, so.
Yeah, they're. Well, there's your problem.
I'm a super smeller.
And of course, you know, Brita's from Ohio, so her water is actually
chlorine.
Flammable. It's flammable.
It's not.
That's just the river.
You could do flaming shots of water at Brita's house.
That's just the river.
We get it. We get our water from the lake. And so maybe our water is fresher than your water, Alan.
So your water just tastes like zebra mussels.
It does. It's succulent and savory at the same time.
Savory municipal water.
Yep. Delicious.
Zebra mussel bouillon.
All right. I think we're done.
Okay.
This is
I'm just getting warmed up.
I know. We're getting... We're spiraling out of control here.
Getting silly.
Yep.
I love you guys.
All right. Well, another good show. Thanks everybody that's listening. Thanks everybody that was in the chat. I'm sorry it's still limited to 10
people.
All 9 of you. But I'm going to work on that as soon as I have time.
Yeah.
We're going to break kneecaps.
Don't worry. But, the guy that's in charge of the chat room's been fired.
But I'm not paying $20 a month for damn chat. Assholes.
Send $1 to Happy Dude.
Yeah. No.
Go to Ashley Madison, enter promo code Squirrel.
No!
It's not like... Weird, I'm putting you in charge of hitting them up for ad money.
Oh, jeez.
Can I?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, fucking right, I will.
No.
Hold on, let me get another drink.
I would be so happy to run that ad. It's not even funny.
It would... Okay.
I have all my trysts with married women through Ashley Madison. Only now I have to lie and say I'm married.
I don't know if you'd have to. I think they'll take a stag like you.
Well,
Alan is kinda, a stag.
Kind of defeats the purpose. Never mind.
Are we hanging up now?
It's like you're doing it wrong.
Are we hanging up now?
Yes. Well, okay. Wait. Let me stop the recording and the broadcast.
Good night, Internet.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, everybody.